Delegates of the Pacific Islands Forum have met in Japan to discuss the controversial dumping of 1 million tons, or in fact over 1 million tons, of nuclear wastewater into the Pacific Ocean. So what has been the outcome of the talks? To find out, we're joined by Islands business correspondent and author of Grappling with the Bomb, Nick McClellan. Nick, welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning, Priyanka.
Good morning to you. Now, I want to start, Nick, by reading a segment of the PIF statement, the outcome of this Japan meeting, to you. It says, the PIF delegation welcomed assurance that Japan will not discharge the treated nuclear wastewater until such a time that it is verifiably safe to do so and based on a relationship built of trust and in the spirit of friendship. Now, that was released just yesterday. Nick, what do you make of that statement? Do we know the outcome of these talks?
Well, the Japan Ministry of Foreign Affairs also put out a statement following the meeting between Prime Minister Kishida and the forum delegation, which was led by the incoming forum chair, Prime Minister Mark Brown of Cook Islands. The Japan statement is a lot shorter and doesn't make similar commitments. It simply says that the discharge will not be allowed in a manner that endangers the lives of Japanese citizens or those of citizens in Pacific Island countries. And, you know, this has been at the heart of the dispute for the last couple of years, ever since Japan in early 2021 announced that they were going to discharge this cooling water from the stricken Fukushima nuclear reactor that was very badly damaged in 2011. Mm. You know, they're talking about a 40-year program to discharge cooling water, which has been stored at the Fukushima site. And that's of grave concern for many Pacific Island countries, particularly around potential impacts on fisheries and also perceived damage. Japan has said that the water will be treated through a liquid processing system that will remove radioactive isotopes. But the forum established an independent scientific panel last year to look at the information provided by Japan. And a memo from that panel shows that Japan has really not been very transparent about the full impacts. And indeed, the data provided to the forum at this stage has been significantly lacking in detail. There are a whole lot of unanswered questions, and so this visit was a very important step. Mm. The bottom line, however, is Japan has not said that they will halt the program.
Yes, yes. So I guess from what we understand, the discharge could happen soon. Is that right, Nick? Is that why these negotiations were so important?
There is some delay on the Japanese end. Originally, at the time of the original announcement, it was proposed that the dumping of water from storage tanks at Fukushima into the Pacific would begin in March or April this year. Japan has already announced that that's going to be deferred. They haven't set a date when they propose to begin the dumping program, although since last August they have begun construction of a pipeline and systems that will take the water out into the Pacific. So Japan is still moving ahead with proposals to do this. However, there are significant political pressures, not just from the Pacific Islands Forum, but from neighbouring countries like China and Korea, who are concerned about this proposal. There is also a whole range of technical problems that Japan is facing in dealing with getting a system that can remove not just tritium, which is the major isotope that will be put into the Pacific, but all radioactive isotopes. And on the data already provided by Japan to the Pacific Islands Forum Scientific Panel, there are a range of radioactive isotopes in the tanks, significant ones in terms of strontium, cesium-137 and so on, which can cause significant health problems. The panel has also raised real concerns that the models Japan has used about safety are faulty. Japan hopes that the tritium, which is the largest amount that will be pumped into the Pacific, will dilute and disperse, but the model they've used is based on drinking water. The panel has raised concerns that Japan has not done studies about the accumulation of tritium and other isotopes in marine, in fisheries, in marine biota, in the sediments of the ocean. This is a program that will continue for 40 years, And that's why there's pressure from the forum to get it right.
Yes. I mean, considering that pressure and this independent panel put together by the Pacific Islands Forum, what was the Pacific Islands Forum going to Japan and lobbying for? From the outcome statements, I know these things often happen behind the scenes, but when we read the outcome statements, there isn't any talk about, you know, fears and some of those concerns that you outlined there, Nick. Do we know if the Pacific Islands Forum is united in their opposition to the dumping?
Look, the forum did get some positive outcomes of this delegation. You know, Prime Minister Brown, the forum chair, reaffirmed requests for more time and data to allow the independent panel to continue its work. And Japan apparently has agreed to further exchange of information with the panelists. There's an agreement that their science should guide the decision on the discharge. And Japan will also support the International Atomic Energy Agency experts to meet with the Pacific panel of five scientists. But Japan's under a lot of pressure. You know, this is TEPCO, the company, Tokyo Electric Power Company, that runs this project, is under massive financial pressure to get this going. Since 2011, they've spent 12 trillion yen. That's about 120 billion Australian dollars on cleaning up the Fukushima site decontamination and so on. That's going to continue for decades and decades. And already the Japanese government has given 10 trillion yen to TEPCO in no interest loans, but TEPCO can't pay those back. So they're under enormous pressure to move ahead with the cheapest, quickest method to deal with the storage tanks, more than 1,000 storage tanks holding contaminated cooling water. And this process is continuing. Japan's trying to do this on the cheap. And the dilemma for the forum is Japan is a major donor to Forum Island countries. It's one of the largest aid donors, particularly through loans. Number three lender to Pacific Island countries. At the last figures, they gave more than $328 million in loans to Pacific Island countries. Japan is also a major player within the Asian Development Bank, which is the number two lender to Pacific Island countries. The ADB president, Mr. Asakawa, is a former aide to the late Shinzo Abe, the former Prime Minister of Japan, and a Japanese chairperson of the ADB's board of directors. And more than half of all contracts for goods and works for programs by the ADB, contracts, loans, grants in the region, went to Japanese contractors.
Oh, wow.
So Japan has a lot of influence in the region.
Considering that, do you think that influence might sway how countries think about this issue?
Well, it's a worrying feature that just 3 days, 3 or 4 days before the forum delegation met with Prime Minister Kishida in Tokyo, he also met with FSM President David Panuelo from the Federated States of Micronesia. And after the meeting, Panuelo stated publicly that he was appreciative of Japan for its, quote, transparent and substantive briefings on the liquid processing system that Japan's planning to use for this contaminated nuclear wastewater. And he said that our country is no longer fearful or concerned about this issue. Now, you know, Japan is a significant donor to FSM. Obviously, the United States is the largest donor, but Japan is a major player. And indeed, in June last year, Japan announced that they would be providing four patrol boats, one to each state within the FSM, to patrol maritime zones. Coming out of the meeting on the 2nd of February, President Panuelo walked away with $2.5 million in other aid projects that Japan was offering. A suspicious mind might suggest that Japan is trying to promote divide and conquer, to break the unity of Pacific Islands Forum leaders about this crucial issue of nuclear safety. And this comes at a time where there's growing debate about anti-nuclear issues in the region, with Australia planning to purchase nuclear submarines, with growing tensions between the United States, China and Russia, debate over the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. You know, this planned waste dumping into the Pacific Ocean, the blue Pacific continent, is really undercutting Japan's diplomacy at a time that it's working with the United States and Australia on trilateral infrastructure programs and really forging off Chinese influence in the region.
Yes, interesting, Nick. I actually wanted to ask you about that wider nuclear legacy in the Pacific. But if you are just tuning in to Pacific Beat, my guest this morning is Islands Business correspondent Nick McClellan. We're talking about that planned dumping of nuclear wastewater, treated nuclear wastewater by Japan. This is off the back of a PIF delegation that went to Japan to discuss their concerns and opposition to that discharge. Now, Nick, you're also the author of Grappling with the Bomb, that looks at the nuclear bomb testing in the Pacific. And I understand some people, some commentators, have made some parallels between that testing and what's happening now with this planned discharge of nuclear wastewater. What do you think about that? Are we seeing some echoes of the past in these current discussions?
Absolutely. One problem is that the Pacific has often been portrayed as this vast empty space. And indeed, in the second half of the 20th century, major powers like the United States, United Kingdom, France conducted their nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific because it was perceived as having low population area. Now, we know that's just not true. There are millions of people living across this vast Pacific. It's also a transgenerational and transboundary impact. You know, countries like the Marshall Islands are living with the legacy of 67 nuclear tests by the United States back in the 1940s and 1950s. Indeed, Australia this year is the 70th anniversary of British nuclear testing in South Australia, which impacted on Indigenous peoples. And it's notable that in the delegation this week to Japan, the Marshall Islands foreign minister was involved because the Marshallese people are still living with the health and environmental consequences of this. There's very strong anti-nuclear sentiment across the region, and indeed Aotearoa New Zealand and nine Forum Island countries and territories have ratified the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, Kiribati's leading activity around nuclear survivors and assistance to nuclear survivors, which is a key element of this anti-nuclear principle. The forum has called on the United States to ratify the three protocols of the South Pacific Nuclear Free Zone Treaty. The United States is the only one of the major nuclear weapon states that has refused to do so. Russia, China, France, Britain have all ratified the SPINFIS protocols. The United States has not done so. So there's been a real focus on climate diplomacy in recent years because of the major security threat of climate change. But I think we're seeing, because of AUKUS, because of this Japanese waste dumping proposal, because of growing international concern over nuclear proliferation, that this nuclear issue is back on the regional agenda. And you only have to look at forum communiques about this. This will certainly be discussed at the special leaders meeting to be held in March of the forum. And, you know, this nuclear question is not going away simply because Pacific peoples are living with the legacy of nuclear waste dumping, nuclear testing, and the proliferation of nuclear weapons.